Okay, so we're now joined today by Sue Bolton, Marybeck councillor, and but he's also running as a Socialist Alliance candidate for the seat of Wills. And just to give a bit of background, there was a recent YouGov poll. In fact, the federal election is very much part of the big kind of political discussion that's going to get, that's happening right now, because currently, right now, the Anthony Albanese will have to call a federal election by May 21st, and there's kind of a lot of speculation on when the federal election would be, with two predicted dates being either April 12th or May 21st,
I'm going with April 12th.
and the and of course, one of the big discussions that's obviously happening around the federal election has been the fa been some of the kind of recent YouGov polls, which have pointed that Dutton is potentially likely to become the next prime minister. So yeah, we have Sue Bolton on to really have a bit of discussion about the political situation, the lead up to this federal election, but also have a bit of discussion about the political program and the solutions that she is putting forward as a Socialist Alliance candidate for the seat of Wills. So I'll pass on to Mary to ask the first question.
Good morning, Sue.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, good. So a recent YouGov poll stated that the coalition is likely to form government instead of the Labor Party. Why do you think that this might happen?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons why it could happen. I think a lot of people are so disappointed in the Albanese government because they've just really been like a weak, pale imitation of the Liberal Party. So they're not really very inspiring. And I think what Dutton is trying to do is trying to give in a very super confident way, give a right-wing explanation for why there's a crisis for a lot of people. And so he's got confidence out of defeating the Voice referendum. I think that's given him great confidence where he managed, to take public opinion away from overwhelming majority, although that was clearly very loose majority, on a very soft support to a defeat of the referendum through arguing a very hard line with very short caption-like slogans in the same way that Tony Abbott did about 10 years earlier. And so he's been doing the same thing, especially with the housing crisis and blaming it on migration. There will be people who are sucked in by that. But the housing crisis in reality is not a result of migration. But I think Abbott is having some success, I don't know to what extent, with convincing people that the cause of things are things like migration. And he's also having some success in other ways through putting forward a strong and confident right-wing program. I don't know if that may will be mean he'll get elected. But he's experimenting with some Trump-like things, such as, attacking trans people, and he's just trying to test the waters to see if Australian people are prepared to accept a more Trump-like politics. Especially in terms of targeting marginalised groups in the community, like the trans community, and picking on certain parts of the community to justify attack on everyone. So I don't think it's I don't think there's any miracle in why Dutton might be rising in the polls, but I think it's partly this problem of the duopoly, two capitalist parties, Liberal and Labor, and Liberals obviously further to the right, but Labor also having really moved lot over the years, and just, you know, not even challenging really the Dutton agenda for the most part.
Yeah, well, thank you, Sue. That kind of helps us segue into the next question that we have prepared for you this morning. So, given the fears around a potential Dutton government, the Labour Party has been trying to dissuade voters from voting for parties that are to the left of the ALP, which has moved to the right a bit, as you said, saying that it risks getting the ALP in as a socialist running for the election. What is your response to sort of these lesser evil arguments, and why do you think it's important to vote socialist?
Well, I think for us, the lesser evilism comes in at the end of the ticket with preferences. So Socialist Alliance would preference Labor Party ahead of the Liberals at the bottom of the ticket. But it's very important not to vote number one for Labor. I think it's very important, if you're at all progressive-minded, to vote for a socialist more than ever at this time. And I think you need a big vote for a socialist candidate, because we need to be able to point out a pathway towards more of an anti-capitalist future. Because all of the problems of society that we're facing, you know, whether it is the genocide in Gaza or the housing crisis or the cutting of funding to public schools and various things, are all caused by capitalism. That's at their root. And so we need a strong anti-capitalist party in standing in the election. And a strong vote for an anti-capitalist party, you know, is really important in this election. If we could win, that would be really important, because we'll be able to put forward our ideas in Parliament, but also use that position to help build the movement on the street. Because even if Socialist Alliance or Socialists parties standing in the election could form government, you'd still need the movement on the street. You can't do everything through Parliament. But the taking the fight into the electoral space is really, really important. And just voting number one for Labor doesn't send any message to the Labor Party to that they've got to change their tack. So, yeah, it's very important to vote number one for a socialist in the election, so that, you know, in the seat that I'm standing in, it's more of a Greens Labor marginal. You know, it's unlikely, you know, it's not realistic for the Liberal Party to win in that particular seat. But even in the case of the Greens, a strong number one vote for socialists also is a message to the Greens that should they manage to take their seat off the sitting Labor MP, Peter Halil, that, you know, we want them to take strong positions on these issues. But, you know, the bigger the vote, the better. And while voting is not everything, we also remain committed to action at the grassroots. The voting is also important in terms of giving people confidence of fighting for public housing and other issues.
Yeah, and I think also as well, I mean, I think that this kind of lesser evilism argument, I think we can kind of note that this is probably a bit of a soft power campaign by the Labor Party to kind of win over discipline the kind of more progressive voters who might be considering voting socialists, but also additionally might be considering voting for the Greens or other independents that are to the kind of left of the Labor Party. And also, I think it's also a very disingenuous argument, because actually we do actually have a preferential kind of voting system. And we're actually hearing reports that when it comes to a lot of Greens, Labor marginal seats where the Labor Party's campaigning. One of the key messages that Labor Party is trying to bring is that, yeah, you have to vote for us because we're the best chance of keeping Dutton out, which is actually a fundamentally, it's actually fundamentally dishonest and actually is kind of more kind of reviewing of the Labor Party. But also, there's also a lot of speculation that that Labor is, and in case this was shown in the Queensland elections, that Labor actually probably put more effort in, more resources into trying to win seats off the Greens that they had lost during the Queensland state election.
Disgraceful.
Than they had trying to unseat Liberals, which I think kind of reflects a lot of things. And in fact, it's a very similar parallel that you can make with the Democrats in the United States, where the Democrats, you know, they like to play the game that, you know, we're the only party that supports the aspirations of progressive kind of people, but then they'll spend a lot of time trying to attack more left-wing Democrats within within their own party. Now, I want to go into sort of the next...
one little follow-up point on that is that Liberal and Labor want to keep things within this duopoly, this political duopoly of the Liberal National Party on one hand and the Labor Party on the other. And so they'll use... this is not a new tactic of the Labor Party. It's been around for decades. And they, especially as they've started to be other parties coming up that can eat into their base, they want to keep things in the two-party system, and then at times they resort to the argument that the Labor Party is the only one that can form government, so people should vote for the Labor Party. They have various ways of arguing the same thing, but the thing is we can't fall for it because, you know, if you just give a number one vote for the Labor Party, it means you don't send any message at all to the Labor Party that you think they're putting forward rotten politics. It's just a pale imitation of the Liberals. So you really do need to vote for a socialist. And I certainly know some of the Iranian refugees who were persuaded to hand out how to vote for the Labor Party in the last federal election feel absolutely cheated because, you know, the forgotten people in this election campaign are really refugees. And like over 10,000, something like 12,000 refugees were promised by the Labor Party that they'd get permanent protection visas. The ALP has done all of these various things during its term, but it has not been prepared to do anything to support refugees and overcome this incredible injustice. So the vast majority, I think 10,000 now, maybe 2,000 got permanent protection, but something like 10,000 is still in a situation where they're allowed to work and pay taxes, but they're not allowed to have access to Centrelink or for their children to have access to HECS-funded places at university. So it's a real injustice.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are running out of time, Sue, but this might be a very great opportunity for you to quite briefly, you know, tell us about the platform that you're running on and socialist solutions to address these sort of fundamental issues underpinning society.
Well, I think you could sum up our platform in two demands, but obviously there's a lot more that we've got to say. But I think we want to see an emergency plan to massively expand quality public housing. That's the only way you can actually address the housing crisis. And while governments over the years have worked very hard to persuade working class people that public housing is hopeless and terrible, et cetera, it's the only way of bringing down the cost of house prices, and it's the only way of people on very low incomes having access to stable, secure housing. After the Second World War, the governments around Australia built more housing than private developers did. So it's been done to solve a housing crisis in the past. It can be done again. We also want to see an end to the genocide in Gaza. and immediate sanctions, the full range of sanctions that were put on Ukraine need to be put on Israel to try and force it to end the genocide, which is still really continuing despite the ceasefire. We also want to see an end to the military alliance with the United States and an end to this horrific AUKUS program, which commits the Australian government to spending hundreds of billions of dollars on nuclear submarines, but also draws us more deeply into an integration into the US military machine, because this is trying to drag us into a war with China, which would be fundamentally, you know, terrible. But also we want to see an end to new coal and gas mines and the phasing out, 400% phase out of fossil fuel and an end to fossil fuel subsidies. We also want to see an end to all of the restrictions on workers' right to organise on the job. Now, I know a lot of workers are on jobs where there's no union, and maybe no one on the job has the consciousness to contact the union to come in to help workers negotiate an EBA. But we need to lift all of these restrictions that we saw put on the Woolworths workers, warehouse workers, at the end of last year, because it's very onerous. And this is why our incomes haven't been increasing at the same pace as inflation has been going up. And it's because of all of these hoops that workers have to jump through in order to take any industrial action. So really, we don't have the right to strike in this country. Not really. There's so many restrictions. And there's more I could go into as well, such as abolishing student debt and lifting Centrelink payments above the poverty line. I mean, they're all below the poverty line, way, way, way below the poverty line. And, of course, ending privatisation of essential services. And, in fact, just recently we saw the federal government take over the Rex airline because it provides it's the only airline that services regional Australia. So it's an essential service. But the problem is that the government will probably just take it over, get it back on its feet, and then sell it off to a private enterprise again. So the problem's not solved.
Absolutely. And as you mentioned, Sue, there is a lot more that you could say, but we are unfortunately running out of time. So perhaps you can quickly tell people how they can follow you and how they can get involved to support the campaign if they want to hear more.
Yes, people can support our campaign. They can probably contact me. My name is Sue Bolton. I'm fairly easy to find with my phone number, or you can contact Socialist Alliance. You can contact me on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also contact Socialist Alliance on Instagram and Facebook as well, or else look up the Socialist Alliance website. Those are probably just the easiest way. It's fairly easy to find us online these days. So, yeah, if you're interested in helping out and also helping a party that's committed to putting politicians on a workers' wage.
Absolutely. Also, listeners can, if they want, attend your launch on the 22nd of February. That's this Saturday at 1:30 p.m. 2:30 p.m. That's right. I'm thinking 1:30 p.m. because I need to be there early. 2:30 p.m. At Merlinston Progress Hall, 1 Novian Street, Merlinston. 3-minute walk from Merlinston Station. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for this morning. Sue, thank you so much for talking to Green Left Radio on 3CR, and all the best with your campaign.
Thank you.